We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome to the debut episode of Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof on all the socials, and today we are presenting an epic battle that has been talked about on the forums and message boards for years. It's the Webhead versus the Cabazon. I'm talking about none other than Spider-Man versus Blue Beetle. Our special guest debater and Spider-Man fan needs no introduction to longtime fans of this channel. He is the actor appearing in Silicon Valley, Roseanne, and Better Things. But most importantly, he's still the executive VP of Who Would Win. It's the one, the only, Brent Pope. Brent, how you doing? How's it going?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
No place I'd rather be, except on a beach or
most
other places. But here is a close 300th.
Ooh, cool. Anything new and different, interesting going on?
I'm growing a really ridiculous mustache right now because I'm working on a film that I can't talk about, other than to say I'm working on a film that shoots in Tucson. So I'll be hanging out and find out what's going on in Tucson. I think they have the largest cacti in the United States, or maybe in the world, outside of Tucson. Other than that, I know nothing.
Gotcha. Well, I must ask you a question. Brent, you are repping Spider-Man. What made you choose this character?
I think, like many people, Spider-Man, I grew up with Spider-Man. I know him fairly well. Love Spider-Man. If I got another tattoo, it would probably be Spider-Man. So why not Spider-Man? Peter Parker, he's the your friendly neighborhood hero.
Right on. Are you doing a specific version of Spider-Man? Are we staying with the Amazing Spider-Man?
I think I'm just going with the comic book version of Spider-Man.
Comic book Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, let's get it going. Spider-Man, one of Marvel's comic book characters who debuted in Amazing Fantasy number 15 in 1962? That's amazing. Created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Whereas Blue Beetle has undergone several canon iterations. His first appearance was Mystery Men Comics number 1 in 1939, and he was originally created by Charles Wachowski. He's rolling over in his grave. And now that we've established the basics for each character, let's introduce your opponent for this debate. I am contractually obligated to say that he is the all-time champion of the Who Would Win show history, as well as the pinnacle of humanity, and not paying me $20 under the table right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Race to Canis. Ray, how you doing?
I am having the greatest day of my entire life. We are trying Who Would Win Masters, an idea that I've been kicking around for quite a while, and fate has determined that we are giving it a shot today. It is one thing to challenge the same human being every single day over the course of 6+ almost 7 years. It is quite another thing to stand at the center of the ring and take on every single comer from any aspect of the internet, anybody with their own channel, anybody who's a super fan, anybody who knows their stuff and can present it well. I am standing here ready to defeat you. That's what I'm excited about. And we have executive vice president of Who Would Win, Brent Pope, on the show today, who it shouldn't be a surprise that this show would debut with Brent Pope because he demands it. He really doesn't let us do things without him if we can help it. It's also part of our contract.
Ray, which version of Blue Beetle are you going with?
We're going with Jaime or Jaime Reyes version. That's the one that's from 2006 up to now. It's the one I think most people at this point would be familiar with. The guy had his own movie very recently. I guess Spider-Man did too, with 3 Spider-Men in it not too very long ago. But if this is the version that people know, this is the version that if you go online and say, who would fight Spider-Man not in Marvel Comics, you get Blue Beetle. That's the person that the internet has kind of decided. And I think that's an appropriate choice. I'm not trying to take Dr. Manhattan in every single battle. I'm trying to play down to each character I'm presented with. Let's roll.
All right, let's get into it. All right, here's the basic version of the rules for Who Would Win debate. Rule number one, there will be a 3-minute timed round with counterpoints allowed. Characters will have no prior knowledge of their opponent, and no outside interference will be allowed. Keep the characters in character. Outliers and crossovers will be given less weight. Battles could be won by death, knockout, battlefield removal, or incapacitation. And after the battle, I, Sam Proof, will give my unofficial opinion as to who wins and why. However, I'm just one voice in this. It will be up to you, all the people out there listening on social media and our Patreon who makes our voice heard, as to who wins this battle. All right, Brent, you're the challenger representing Spidey. You're going to go first and tell us how the Webhead is going to defeat the Flying Blue Menace. Your time starts now.
All right, so let's start off with Superman? Let's start off with Spider-Man's power set, okay? Of course, he has the web shooters. He's shooting those webs all over the place. This allows him to swing on webs, allows him to wrap people up. They're very, very strong. They can hold many tons of weight. Of course, he, due to the radioactive spider, he also has enhanced strength. He's a superhero. He's got all that strength. He can, according to Marvel, can hold at least 10 tons, okay? Well, more on that later. The swing on webs. He also is very fast. He can move around. He's hard to hit. And one of the reasons it's hard to hit, he's got that spidey sense. What is that? It allows him to see things almost like a premonition. He senses things that are bad about to happen before they happen and allows him to adjust accordingly. Now, that might be really important against a guy who has a bunch of tech and is using AI. It's almost like his own AI, except I would argue maybe his is a little more, they're a little more in tune with each other than Blue Beetle. But, Ray will have to argue that, I guess. Another great thing he can do, he can stick to walls and ceilings. So he can be upside down. He can be on the side of a building. He has access, I don't know if I'm going to use this, but a few times he's had access to the Mark of Cain. Now, that's very strong. I'll see if I want to use that later. I'll see if I'm behind and I need to use it. And of course, that has to do with during that era with the clones where they thought Spider-Man was a clone. Peter Parker was a clone and they tried to trick him. And he had this guy named Cain that actually was a clone that had the Mark of Cain. It was a pretty cool power, but we'll talk about it if we need to. He's got other strengths that, of course, I will be saving for that knockout blow in the third round. So more on that later. Let me think if there's anything else I need right now. Spider sense. Swings on web. Beetle killer. He's killed beetles many times in his house. New York has many beetles. He's stepped on them easily. They've been squashed completely. I see no difference with this beetle and the regular beetles that we see outside on the sidewalk in New York where they don't pick up the trash all the time. So this is a place where they will be picking up the trash. Should be even easier. Okay? So I guess that's it for me. Let's see what Ray's got to say.
Giving up with 20 seconds to go, just giving it to your opponent. Ray, what do you have?
Wow. Well, I'm going to start my clock right now. Look, we're going to talk about the defense of Mr. Reyes and the Blue Beetle. Brent, you're giving me extra time on the clock. You're wondering, should you keep things for point number three? I'm going to tell you right now, you're so far behind already. You should just be talking about nothing but your haymakers right now and often. Giving me extra time back in the debut. How dare you? Defense is what we're going to talk about first. I don't think Spider-Man can do enough to bring down the Blue Beetle. He's got a super suit. That's kind of like Iron Man's super suit, but on steroids, because there was something called the Scarab, and it infested itself. How would you say that? It attached it to himself, to his spine, thus allowing him to have a multiple consciousness kind of a deal. Kind of like what Moon Knight would have with Khonshu or many of these other characters who kind of have a second piece to them that they can go to. I believe Shazam has the wisdom of Solomon and all that. Well, that's what Blue Beetle's deal is. Which it allows him to react to danger. Now, Spider-Man does have his spider senses. That's pretty phenomenal. But Blue Beetle has an AI-powered super suit that's always on, always attached to him at all times, that can also immediately react to danger and, in fact, act outside of his control and take him out of danger if it needs to. It also helps him with many defensive capabilities. Now, the Scarab symbiotic bond has enhanced durability with Jaime, it allows him to take a lot of extra physical damage that a normal person would be able to. Examples, he's bulletproof. You could stand there and you could shoot guns at Blue Beetle all day long. And what's going to happen? Not a whole heck of a lot. They're going to bounce off of him. He's not going to feel them. He's not going to be damaged by them. Also, he once fell from space, landed on Earth, and he was fine. He got up and he walked away safely. I have promised myself anytime I'm doing one of these battles and I see that feat, I will mention it. And I will also do this part afterwards, saying that I saw it and saying that I did it. It's a weakness, but that's what we're going to do here. Hey, I'm a fan of Lobo. Lobo's the guy who can go toe-to-toe with Superman and all of the heavy hitters of the DC universe. You know who took a bunch of hits from Lobo and went back and forth with him? Blue Beetle did. If Lobo went to the Marvel Universe to go and corral Spider-Man, I'm going to tell you right now, based on some of Spider-Man's defeats,
30 seconds,
which we'll
remaining.
Get to later, Lobo absolutely would clean the clock of Peter Parker and take him back on his spaceship. Last things to talk about, because that's my timer. Blue Beetle can create targeted force fields whenever he needs to. You could shoot those webs all you want to, but if you hit a force field that's 2 feet in front of Blue Beetle, you're not going to be gumming up anything. And the AI of Blue Beetle's suit allows the Scarab to create countermeasures all by itself. He doesn't have to think about it. It'll see what's coming, and it will stop him. That's called using your time, Brent Pope.
That was well-timed. All right, Brent, you have a one-minute counterpoint starting now.
Okay, well, yeah, I like that you mentioned that he's like Iron Man, except Iron Man's suit doesn't disagree with him and literally give him different things than what he asks for during a battle, which happens all the time with Blue Beetle. It's literally one of the things that's fun about Blue Beetle. He argues with his AI. They do not agree, and it makes for great drama. Does it make him a great fighter? I don't know about that. He also, I watched all of the episodes of Sheriff Lobo in the 1980s, and I don't remember him being fighting Blue Beetle at all or fighting anyone that was a superhero. I remember him being kind of a bumbling sheriff named Lobo. Unless there's another Lobo, I'm not thinking of Ray, but I think there is. And look, all these things about him being able to block all of Spider-Man's webs and being too fast and having the AI, that reminds me of all like the people that are about to fight Mike Tyson. They always think they have a plan for Spider-Man until Spider-Man punches them right in the mouth. That's how you use your time, Ray.
All right.
Hey, great job. You finally did it.
All right. Interesting, guys. Interesting points. Really like some points that Brent made about Spidey. You know, I'm curious to see where Mark of Cain comes in and what that all does, because I don't think I ever caught that in my own reading of it. Not so sure about the Beetle Killer action. Good dig, though. You said he sticks to walls, but I am curious how Spidey's going to deal with somebody who does fly. You know, walls only go so high. So let's see how that goes. Ray, on your side, I think, you know, a lot of good points about the power suit and the symbiote falling from space. I mean, yeah, that's powerful stuff right there. The flight, also good. You know, the ability to create the force fields to block the webs. I think that's an important point to make, that he's not going to gum up the works for sure. That was on my list. Jaime Reyes, I think he's a younger guy. He's a little more cocky, a little more unexperienced. How is he going to deal with somebody who's been around for that long? I want to see where that goes. And we'll find out right after these messages.
From automated assembly lines to smart factories, manufacturing is going digital, and fast. If you want to stay relevant, you need the right tech skills. CBT Nuggets helps you get there with practical, easy-to-follow IT training. Build in-demand skills in networking, cybersecurity, and system automation without investing in costly hardware or struggling with complicated setups. Our short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs make learning simple and effective. Whether you're a technician on the floor, a manager leading teams, or an engineer optimizing systems, CBT Nuggets fits your schedule and meets you where you are. Train at your own pace, from any device, wherever it works for you. And with new content added regularly, there's always something relevant to learn. Join thousands of professionals who are leveling up their careers with CBT Nuggets. Right now, you can start a 7-day free trial and explore everything we offer, no commitment required. Go to cbtnuggets.com today. Because in modern manufacturing, better tech skills mean better opportunities.
All right, we're back. It's time for round two. Brent, you're on for point number two. You have 3 minutes starting now.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the people that Spider-Man has faced off against in his long, long career, as opposed to Blue Beetle's very short career, especially since we got this. Who's this Jaime dude? I mean, Blue Beetle used to be like a really smart, genius guy. And now we got this like kind of dopey kid named Jaime. Doesn't seem like a good matchup to me when you have him going up against people like the Kingpin all the time, the Green Goblin with all of his tech, all the goblins. He goes up against all the goblins. Rhino, very strong, maybe not very smart, but very strong. Juggernaut. That's somebody that Blue Beetle would have a hard time with, because Blue Beetle has a hard time with magic. Unfortunately, Spider-Man doesn't do magic, except for card tricks. Very good at those. Very good at card tricks. Spider-Man once beat the entire Fantastic Four. What are we even talking about? Somebody that can do four shields. Somebody that is like the Hulk, almost in power. Somebody that can wrap you up like Mr. Fantastic and is also a genius, just like Peter Parker. And somebody that, you know, can fly and also has flames. He beat all four of them at the same time. So I don't see how just one person that has kind of a skill set, not the same as Fantastic Four, but just, you know, one person versus four, when there are things that Blue Beetle has that Fantastic Four has, that doesn't seem to match up to me. He's also beat, you know, characters like Galactus. He took down Wolverine, Colossus, Grey Hulk. What are we talking about? If he can beat up on Grey Hulk, what is Blue Beetle going to do? Talk about taking some punishment. Do we talk about the Vulture also with his tech? And let's also talk about this. The reason I took Spider-Man from the comic books as opposed to Spider-Man the MCU, Spider-Man in the comic books can actually finish jobs that he couldn't finish in the comics. For example, in Avengers and Infinity Gauntlet, number 4, Spider-Man distracted Thanos, and unlike, you know, in the movie, he actually was able to pull the Infinity Gauntlet off his hand with webbing, take hold of it himself, take possession of it, and wish Thanos out of existence. Now, I don't care what kind of AI you have. It's not going to be able to cover some of these wacky moves that Spider-Man's doing like that, where he wishes somebody out of existence, and just the pure brain that Peter Parker has. Okay? So I'd like to see, you know, obviously Blue Beetle's from the DC universe. There's very powerful characters there, but I don't think he's dealt with anybody that's beat up any number of the amount of characters like Spider-Man has. Okay. They just don't match up, these two. And so I don't know. Good luck, Blue Beetle. I think you're in trouble.
All right. You heard it. That is a long list. Ray, it is time for your point number two.
Let's get right into it then. My point number two, first off, I got to talk about this. You're comparing Vulture's tech to the Scarab from Blue Beetle. That's like comparing an iPhone from 2025 to a Speak and Spell from the 1980s. There is no comparison between these two devices. And you say Spider-Man, who's got the big wins. He's lost to plenty of people. The Spot beat him. Kraven the Hunter literally killed him, sort of. And he loses every single person in his entire life, eventually. And you're in battle with the Fantastic Four. That was in the literal first appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy number 15. And all he did was dodge each of their attacks once and jump out of the building. He didn't even put them down. So don't you mislabel what that battle was. It was him surviving and escaping, not defeating the Fantastic Four by himself. Anyway, let's talk about offense, because that's what I want to talk about now. The Scarab, you're right. The Scarab inside of him, he fights with the Scarab all the time. Do you know why Jaime fights with the Scarab? Because the Scarab wants to kill everybody. But Blue Beetle doesn't want to kill everybody. So the Scarab is constantly wanting to do the most hyper-violent acts physically possible. And Jaime's like, no, dude, don't murder everyone in this town. We don't have to. But it also produces him with very powerful strength. This is a guy who could pick up a car and walk around with it above his head with no problem whatsoever. It allows him to knock down walls, knock down, you know, big metal doors, all that good stuff. But also it can create weapons on his body. couple of the cool ones that I saw that he uses all the time are the Scarab gives him a sword and a shield, which allows him to fight somebody like a Taskmaster, perhaps, who is another character that gives Spider-Man a lot of trouble when they end up meeting each other in the comic books. But it gives him a lot of different types of attacks that Spider-Man's not going to see coming in a first appearance. It's going to give him an aura of advantage that Spider-Man's not going to pick up on even with the spider senses. If the Spot can punch through holes and hit him from behind and the spider senses don't work, I gotta believe the quickness of these weapons on the Scarab will do the same. Also, he can shoot out energy cannons and energy blasts. That's a big part of Blue Beetle's offense, is to just shoot energy beams at people, which is not something you could stop in a web by shooting at it, right? Additionally, this AI of the Scarab on Blue Beetle allows him
30 seconds
to manifest
remaining.
Whatever weapons the AI thinks he needs in the moment. Does he need a sharp item? Good. Does he need a buzzsaw? Good. Does he need a blowtorch? Great. It's going to get him out of any weird situations. Heck, it manifests kryptonite when he's fighting against Superman. And I believe that Spider-Man might have an advantage right up close, but if you get to mid and long range, and remember, we'll get into flight a little bit later, Blue Beetle has the advantage. Blue Beetle Scarab is there to fight Green Lanterns. Quite honestly, Spider-Man is less than that.
All right, impressive list of stuff. Brent, you have 1 minute counterpoint starting now.
All right, well, yeah, Spider-Man lost everyone in his life, and that's to his personal demise, but also to his fighting psychological advantage. It makes him more tenacious. And, the Taskmaster, look, Aunt May is the ultimate Taskmaster, and he deals with her on the regular, and he deals with her quite effectively. Energy Blast, do you think he's going to be worried about Energy Blast? He's not getting hit by many of them. He's too fast, Ray, and he's got the Spidey sense. And I'm glad you talked about how Jaime doesn't want to hurt anyone, and yet the Scarab wants to hurt everyone. It's that clash of philosophies that's going to just create that inkling nanosecond of time that where Spider-Man comes in and gets the victory. Okay, when we're talking about two characters like this that are both very fast, very powerful, any kind of advantage is important. And, Jaime not wanting to hurt somebody that's really strong, maybe a bad time to think about that. And he'll see it.
Interesting second round. The big list of Spider-Man's face-offs. I don't know that Ray really addressed Galactus. That seems to be a footnote that needs to be made. Everything else, the ability to just generate any possible weapon does seem like a big benefit. We'll have to see how that comes into play after this break and as we head in to round three. All right, it is the final round. Brent, what is the end game for Spidey starting now?
All right, well, let's start off with this. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, is a genius. He creates his own tech. He can use tech. Jaime is a kid using tech that he's been given. And he's a kid. He's not, he's very entertaining. He's very cute. He's like that kid at his birthday party. And everybody's like, oh, he's going to do this magic trick. Let's pretend like it's good. Okay? That's who Jaime is. Spider-Man has a lot of experience. Jaime doesn't have a lot of experience. Not as much as Spider-Man. But the big thing I think right here about Spider-Man and Peter Parker is his tenacity, his grit, his intelligence, which I just mentioned, and his resourcefulness, okay? So there are many things that you can talk about with Spider-Man, but one is he kind of refuses to lose. He does what it takes to win. If he needs more strength, he finds that strength. What are we talking about? They always say Spider-Man can lift about 10 tons, but we've seen him in comics hold up a building that should weigh about 200 tons. I know this is in one of the movies, but it's just for an example of something like this. We saw him hold up those two parts of the Staten Island Ferry. That's way more than 10 tons in each hand. And we've seen him hold up much better bigger things than that in the comics. So when they say that he's, Blue Beetle has the strength advantage, I just don't think that that's true when it really comes down to intestinal fortitude time when we're having the battle. Also, like I said, he's his own master of his mind. He's not arguing with anybody. He knows what he's doing. The only thing he does is follow with his instincts, the spidey sense. Who's to say also when he has that much strength that he's very smart. He can see, oh, that blue beetle on his back. I'm going to rip that blue beetle right out of his spine that is fused to. Pull that scarab right out. Who's to say he couldn't do that? Spider-Man will never quit. Blue Beetle, like I said, he's had times where he didn't want to continue in the battle because he was arguing with the scarab. And who wants to argue with a scarab anyway, right? One of the other things, too, I think is important. Spider-Man, he pulls his punches a lot because he doesn't want to kill anyone necessarily. But he doesn't have to pull his punches if he thinks he's in enough danger. So if he's as strong as Ray's saying he is,
30 seconds remain.
He's going to be using all of his tactics, all of his tech, all of his speed, all of his tenacity to make sure that the Blue Beetle cannot come out on top. And I just say Spider-Man will refuse to lose. He'll find the strength if he needs it. And we've seen that over and over and over again in the last, 60, 50 years of Spider-Man. Okay.
Okay, Ray, you're up with your final point. 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Here we go. Point number three. I got to refute a little bit of what Brent said. This Galactus versus Spider-Man argument, I went looking for it because Spider-Man has no chance against Galactus. But did you know in Earth 11638, a different multiverse that we're not talking about today, in the Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 38, Rhino, third hand, says that his version of Spider-Man from that reality, who has mystical magical powers, defeated Galactus and talks about it no further. This is not the version of Spider-Man that we are discussing. How dare you, Brent Pope? Jaime is not afraid to hurt people, okay? He's not sitting back there. You just made the whole argument that Jaime is going to be weaker because he won't kill. And then in the next breath, you say Spider-Man pulls his punches because he won't kill. What are we talking about right now? Jaime's not afraid to hurt people. He doesn't want to kill people. That's a concern often because of how ridiculously powerful that Blue Beetle is. The Scarab, on the other hand, is not afraid to do a little bit of the old ultra violence, if I may quote a Clockwork Orange up in here. The thing is, if Jaime, for whatever reason, takes a hit that gets him knocked unconscious, under normal circumstances, that would lose a who would win battle. But Blue Beetle itself is Jaime and the Scarab. So if Jamie or Jaime gets himself knocked unconscious, the Scarab will take over and fight with extreme violence and do everything because it will not have Jaime stopping him from doing it. So if Spider-Man starts to win this battle, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen for him. Now, Blue Beetle's had some very big wins in his comic book career, even since 2006 when this particular iteration came around. The biggest two that I wanted to mention were Booster Gold, who is the guy with all the future tech. They're actually best friends a lot of the time in a lot of these comic book series. He's beaten Booster Gold the fight before, who has that Brainiac gear from like the year 30,000 or whatever it is. Fact check me, losers. Also, he's got a big win over, I mentioned it before, Lobo. Anybody with a win over Lobo can bring down the Spider-Man without worrying about it too very much.
30 seconds remaining.
One other thing about it is Spider-Man doesn't have the support of his family. I'm going with a full Fast and Furious argument right now. Spider-Man has to keep his secret from his family because terrible things keep happening to them, but Blue Beetle has an entire family to rely on. He derives strength from his family, much like Dominic Toretto in Fast and the Furious. Last things, he can fly. We mentioned he has wings. He can track and sense people with the Blue Beetle power as well, which provides him a heightened awareness of his own environment. Spider-Man's not going to be able to hide. Blue Beetle's going to take him down.
Right, well timed. Brent, you have one last minute for a counterpoint. Starting now.
Okay, let's start off with the whole Booster Gold got beat by Blue Beetle. Come on now, Ray. We both know that they're besties and they don't want to beat each other up. It's like Booster Gold is, in your words, Ray, I would say it's like the U of M Michigan versus Sparty. They're just letting them get a win every once in a while so they can put it on their resume so they can get their summer job at the Snack Shack. That's all that is. And also, look, I think if Rhino says it, he's a very honest villain. He's not smart enough to lie. If it happens in his world, it's going to happen in the other world. Look, Spider-Man's too fast, too resourceful. He's got too much experience. I just don't think there's proof that Blue Beetle can take him out. I'll be honest. I think my arguments today have been bulletproof. Rays need proof of life, and the great Sam Proof is going to do the right thing and hand me a victory over the louder but much less effective Ray Sicanus.
All right, Ray is the champion, and the fact that this is your show, you get the final word.
And quite honestly, I deserve it. Now, I'm going to say right now, I've had to listen to Brent Pope go on and on with a lot of nonsense, a lot of malarkey, as a former president would have said. You say to yourself, Rhino is a guy who can be trusted. Rhino. Paul Giamatti from the live-action movies wearing a bizarre Rhino-esque suit. Or the guy who's just dressed like a rhino who runs people over, known for petty theft and larceny. No, Rhino, first off, is not good, but I actually believe him here. But that's a different version of Spider-Man than the one you're arguing. You should have used that version of Spider-Man, who you would have nothing else to talk about except for this one feat with mystical, magical abilities that Spider-Man doesn't have, because Galactus came to Earth in this version of Spider-Man, and Spider-Man did not single-handedly take him out. Given the fact that he had his chance and he did not do it, I could firmly establish all of your biggest wins for Spider-Man. I really thought you'd lean into that better, because Spider-Man does have a bunch of big wins, none of which you chose to put on the table. And I'm not going to give them to you now, but his biggest wins, you tried to reach for them. And sometimes when you reach, you fall off the top of the grain silo and down into a barrel of hay. I don't know if I'm talking Farm Life from Nebraska or the new Assassin's Creed game, but either way, a lot of what you've had to say today is a bit of a stretch. I think at the end, this AI stuff that's going on with the Scarab and Blue Beetle, allowing him to conjure his own weapons, allowing him to create force fields, just puts him slightly one cut above, because I think strength-wise, they match up pretty well. Agility-wise, they match up pretty well. But it's the tricks. Spider-Man has some tricks. Blue Beetle has a lot of tricks. And at the end of the day, I'll take the guy with two brains, one of which being the most powerful AI in the entire world, against one guy doing his best.
Yeah, I think you both laid out some arguments there. Definitely. Spidey is a classic hero. As Brent laid out, he does have the Spidey sense. He is very fast. He has the enhanced strength, inane ability to improvise and be resourceful, you know, and sticking to walls doesn't hurt. The Blue Beetle super suit has some amazing abilities, of course, of its own. Not the least of which is the ability to generate weapons, which I'm surprised Ray didn't lay into even more. Definitely pointed out some very good things to block those spider webs and other things of that nature. The battle matchups, you know, I think we do have to downplay the Galactus one. It is a different iteration. It is weighted lower. Fantastic Four, it sounded like that definitely gets dismissed as well, because that's more of winning by living. It's hard coming into this. Spidey, I think, is a fan favorite and, you know, personal favorite of mine. I didn't know Blue Beetle coming into this very much either. Ray made some really good points. The ability to survive a fall from space, which if these two get close enough, which Spidey would have to deal with the flight abilities, and he ends up in space, how's that working? How's that? Is he going to live? I don't know. But if they both are fallen from space, I know one of them is definitely living and walking away from it. I think the real thing that knocks it out of the park for a win here is that Spidey, the seasoned professional who might be able to do some pretty strategic moves, I don't think he has the ability to assess this situation, because he has no prior knowledge of Blue Beetle, doesn't have the ability to know this Scarab is this thing that is doing what Blue Beetle is gaining all these powers from. It would, like, he's in the heat of battle right here. How is he going to, like, figure that out so fast? So he's going to unleash, he's going to go forward, he's going to lose that sort of code of honor and go as hard as possible to knock out Blue Beetle. But it's only Jaime Reyes that gets knocked out. And as Ray said, when the Scarab takes over, that's it. It's all over. Ray Sicanus, you are the winner. But hey, that's just me. That's just my thoughts. You out there in the community, you're the real voice. So go to our Patreon, go to our social media and vote on this, and we'll see what you say. Brent, thank you so much for joining us.
Wow, I am surprised to find out that the Scarab and Blue Beetle has never, ever been defeated in the history of the comic books, I guess, even though he's not the main character in most of the comics that he's in. Wild, I guess. Yeah, I guess that must, if he gets knocked out and he takes over, I guess he automatically wins, huh? Okay, that's what we're doing today. Cool.
Man, I guess maybe it would be up to you to have talked about some of the times he lost.
Look.
Maybe that's where those 20 seconds in round one should have gone.
I didn't need it. I didn't need it, Ray. I didn't need
it. Yeah, I was looking forward to hearing more about the Mark of Cain, but that seemed like that got dropped.
I ran out of time. Only 3 minutes. Some shows allow you 8 minutes.
This is not one of them.
All right. Well, Brent, thank you so much again for joining us on this this first episode of the new Who Would Win Masters show. You know, I hope you come back.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I could not have prepared less for this. And the fact that Ray beat me by like a half a nanosecond, to me, that means I should have won. But hey, congrats, Ray, on preparing for a show and beating someone that didn't prepare for the show. Barely. Good job, Ray. Good job, Ray.
Well, we have a saying down in Texas, which is you mess with the bull, you get the horns, Brent Pope. And quite honestly, you said you lost by a nanosecond, but then you left 20 seconds on the table in round one. So clearly, that's on you.
I don't think so. I didn't know we had to use all 3 minutes, Ray.
You didn't think that would be a good idea? I could see the flaw in your game plan out the start. The thing is,
I just thought I'd let Ray talk more and talk his way out of it, which is what usually happens.
The thing is, Sam Proof has given his decision in this battle, but he is but one voice. We encourage all of the people to meet us at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, or you can find the Facebook group, Who Would Win Podcast, as well as find us on Threads. We're working on some YouTube. We're working on some TikTok right now for Who Would Win Masters. And you're going to be able to find us all there. We want to hear from you. What were your thoughts on the battle? Who do you think won? And what reason really worked the best for you? And which argument do you think fell a little bit flat? That's what we want. Next week, I'll be back talking about what you, the people, have to say about this particular battle. And we're going to go through all your comments, all of your suggestions, anything weird y'all have to say. We're going to talk about it next week, and we're going to find out, do you, the people, agree with Judge Sam Proof?
And if you think you've got what it takes to be a part of Who Would Win Masters, record a 1-minute demo of yourself and send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. Who knows, maybe the next time you will be one of the challengers in the chair facing off against Race Decanus. For Who Would Win Masters, this is Sam Proof. Stay strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.